Welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast. My name's Kyle Nelson. Y'all know who I got with me.
Oh, yeah. Star of the hour right here.
Mr. Eli Libby. Welcome to our show. Today we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Kate. We're very excited to talk about some branding. It's going to be a really, really good conversation.
Branding about building is always branding. A blast.
We love to talk about branding because we are passionate about it.
Absolutely.
It's something we do. So. Really excited for that. Eli, tell me about your day. How's it going, my man?
It's going great. I'm waking back up. Had a little splash of water here and I'm fired up, ready to go.
Is that cold, what's in there, water?
Cold water typically fires you up a little bit. So cold beverage.
Fire. Got it. Sure. So anyways, let's roll that intro. What's going on? Welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast. My name's Kyle Nelson. I've got my great co-host and good friend here, Mr. Eli Libby.
Thank you, Kyle.
Excited for the episode, man. Today, man.
Absolutely.
Really excited for this episode. We've got a great guest.
Yep. Absolutely.
Number two, clear, simple images.
Amazon sellers.
The first thing that I'm following about in this article is
really looking for that initial print.
You need to be thinking about product photography and video production. Today we have Kate DeLeo. Her branding approach is rooted in her firm belief that brand is the path of least resistance to revenue. She teaches you how to eliminate complex and ineffective brand storytelling by delivering a simple yet provocative message that tells prospects what you do, how you solve their problems, and how you differ from the competition. What's that outcome going to be, you ask? Brand conversations that convert. Kate is honored to have partnered with more than 200 brands across 20 sectors. She is passionate about helping organizations craft messaging that brings more prospects to the table, more users who click, and more customers who buy. She's got a book, Muting the Megaphone, Stop Telling Stories and Start Having Conversations, and it's coming out in July. Kate, welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We are excited to have you. So before we get going, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do some quick ice-breaking questions. All right. We're going to
fire
six at you. I'm going to say three.
All right.
I was going to say three. And this is really impromptu. I didn't even tell them about this. So, okay. Number one, what did you have for breakfast?
Oh, my gosh.
No. A vegan power bar.
Ooh, oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Favorite book. Actually, that's a hard question.
Wait. War and Peace. Honestly, I loved it. Can I tell you why? I was in college and I read it on the trains going through Italy when we were backpacking around. So it was like the perfect.
Nice. Wow. Okay. Okay. You're trapped on an island. One food you can have for the rest of your life. Go.
Olives.
Okay. See, she's on it. All okay, right. Kyle, you got three.
Favorite animal.
Oh, there we go.
Otter.
Oh,
nice. Mine's a peacock.
Okay.
Eli, what's yours?
A tiger.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. During COVID, what was your favorite pastime to kill time?
Napping.
Ooh, I like this.
You are quick.
Yeah.
That was good. And last question. Anywhere in the world you wish you could be that you haven't been? Where's that?
Portugal.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Wow. You guys both had the impromptu going. I didn't tell you about
So the goal is that I eat olives in Portugal while watching the sea otters. Got it.
And
got
while we War and Peace.
Yes, exactly.
I have never read that book. Have you read the book? Can you tell us about the book? A little bit? Just give it quick.
How much time do you have? It's about war and it's about peace. No, honestly, it's a great Tolstoy book. It's huge. Yeah. It's ginormous. But amazing. You need to read it once in your life. The human psyche that they kind of unpack among all of these characters is pretty phenomenal. And it deals with kind of a bourgeoisie class in Russia at the time. And then the various like class systems there. So it's really cool.
Wow.
Wow.
That sounds awesome.
Okay. Well, you sold me.
Yeah.
Not quite Star Wars. I get it, but it's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's okay. I like Star Wars, but I'm not super.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, okay.
Boy.
All right. Today's show.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Yes. Let's bring it back a little bit. Let's go back to the beginning of when you felt like business and branding and just this urge of helping people really started. Where was that? Tell us about that.
Can I be super candid with you? Okay. You guys, probably like a lot of other older millennials here, I'm 36. I did not go to school for branding and marketing. I kind of accidentally fell into this. And so I call myself an accidental brand strategist because my love and passion of branding actually came on the hinges of me having to leave academia. I was planning to pursue a PhD in anthropology. And what happened was, is the market crashed. And in the process, I had a professor look at me one day and he's like, Kate, listen, love you. Love that you're wanting to do this, but we don't know where the field is going to be. So before you start your next round of classes, you may want to consider just leaving academia and going and getting a day job. Now, my Italian father was like, yeah, please leave my house and go get a day job and pay off your debt. Right. So I actually left and started my career in sales. And it was in sales that led me to understand the power of brand, because what people were giving me for complex sales scripts and all of these marketing drip campaigns were not cutting it. And I had a really a sink or swim moment of how in the world do I better connect with my target audience to candidly and authentically provoke them to want to come to the table and have a conversation.
Okay. Wow. That is so cool.
That's cool how you just walked into it. Those are, we hear that a lot, and it seems like those are the ones that are successful. It wasn't they were chasing, it was chasing them. So yeah, that's cool.
That is really cool. We love branding. Branding, I think, is one of our deepest passion. I think everything
that I know you guys are obsessed with it.
We like it.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, it's all about how do you speak to your, like you're saying, how do you speak to your market in the best
way.
So it is. It's kind of like fishing. I know I've talked about this.
Oh, tell me more. I live in Minnesota, where it's the land of 14,000 lakes and lots of crappie and bass fishing. Please go on.
Go ahead and tell her about that, Eli. Well,
what I'm saying is, I think branding and marketing, it relates to the bait you would use to fish. You throw out something. How does it react to that target market? I've said the story in, you know, various talks that I've
heard, okay. But,
I think that's how branding and marketing
absolutely
applies to today. So a brand that gravitates, towards, and why do you gravitate towards that brand?
Ooh, you're asking me what brands I gravitate towards. Okay.
Top of that. I'm going to ask Kyle the same question.
Okay. So two ways to slice and dice and answer this. On the B2B side, I'm actually really drawn to Citrix.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you're not familiar, Citrix is a technology provider that primarily works, you know, it's really a SaaS product and a number of products within that suite. However, the reason that I love Citrix is their brand really gets at the heart of speaking to the pain that they solve for the business first and foremost before they get into all the capabilities. And to me, that's incredibly attractive. Wow. And it's a part of what I teach is, how do you speak to the deepest level heart pain that you solve for your customer?
Ooh.
That's ultimately the goal here of a brand, is really having a message that kind of smacks them between the eyeballs a little bit and gets somebody to go, oh my God, they read my mail, right? That's ultimately why I'm so attracted to it, is I think Citrix does a phenomenal job when they're speaking to IT leaders in an organization of how do they do that. So that's probably one of the most underrated brands that you see out there, but they're brilliant at it. They do a much better job than even Microsoft.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Kyle, do you have a brand?
What are you going to ask? I've
been doing a lot of impromptu stuff
today. I have two.
Okay.
And one is cliche, and everyone's like, oh, cool. But one is Apple. Yeah. And the reason is because they have created a brand around experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not necessarily what they're selling, not necessarily how pretty it is or the price tag. It's all about the experience that you have with Apple.
Yep.
Whether it's the interface, whether it's opening the box, whether it's seeing their ads, whether it's in their stores, whatever it is. It is so consistent across the board. Talking about omnichannel, we could go there.
Yeah.
But it's so consistent across the board, and you get the same feeling over and over. Unless it has to do with your iPhone not working after 2 years.
Yeah.
We'll keep it there. And the other one's Allbirds. I think they've created an amazing brand for, you know, good sustainable shoes. They have a story. And just overall, their branding's amazing. Like, it's a really good – it's a feel-good brand, right?
It is.
And it's a brand that you want to, like, be a cheerleader for. And, like, you know, when someone's wearing a pair of Allbirds, that they're wearing it for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're comfortable shoes. I mean, I got mine on today. Yep. But they're comfortable shoes. But you're rocking the brand. And that shows who you are at the core.
I would say another one that I have to say I love is Mint Mobile. Not just because Ryan Reynolds is at the face of it. Now, by the way, Mint Mobile has done a brilliant job of using Ryan Reynolds and his personality to really propel that brand forward. But Mint Mobile is solving a particular niche in the market, which is that people are tired of buying into the traditional, like, paradigm of what it means to have a cell phone plan and how I'm supposed to like work with these conglomerates. And Mint is really a disruptor of that. And so if you view yourself as a disruptor, as the customer, as the target audience, like attracts like. And so they're doing a great job of really hitting on Gen Zs and millennials that view themselves in that capacity.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I'm going to throw a curveball. No clue what Mint Mobile is. I swear. I don't.
Okay. Google. Come on. Go Google it. It's amazing.
I did hear about it. Tell us how they're disrupting and how, as a disruptor within this millennial market, how is it off of a standard phone plan?
Well, so, they offer the plan, right? But what they're really doing is it's not only price-based, but it's the terms. So what Mint does really well is being super transparent in the terms that you get with your service, as well as the ability to actually purchase that very easily and efficiently. So they're going after a consumer that wants 100% transparency and wants to buy from a brand that doesn't feel like it is hiding stuff behind the magic Wizard of Oz curtain. And that's where Mint Mobile shines.
Their homepage is nothing but transparency on the
price. 100%. Yep. And they use humor. They use a sense of candor across their messaging. And when we talk about brand, tone of voice is imperative. Like understanding, like, how do you show up? Are you a blue pen or a red pen? Well, great brands write in the right color pen. And great brands know that like attracts like. So you don't have to flex your tone of voice to be everything for everybody. Mm-hmm. In fact, your best job is to niche in and really own your tone of voice, because really you're going to draw the right kind of value customers that align with your message when you own that.
Interesting.
Wow.
That is amazing
stuff just by talking about brands. I'm loving this.
Absolutely. That might be a great segue into,
I think so.
Into the topic, which is building the brand trifecta.
Yeah.
Tell us about the trifecta.
All right. So remember how I said I had the sales job, right? Yeah. And can I tell you, okay, I took the dumbest job ever. So great. I clearly was not thinking, because I took a job to cold call IT professionals and sell them $2,500 training classes. After the market crashed.
That sounds
because fun. Clearly IT people love to be called and love to be sold to, right? So that was just so smart.
The introverts of the world, I don't think.
Yeah.
Or like, get off of my phone and let me go code, right? Like, it was like the worst thing I could have done. But I tell you what, like, this is why I fell in love with branding, and I didn't even know it was brand when I happened. I had no idea. But I basically had to throw out the scripts and unsubscribe everybody from the marketing campaigns. And I decided, like, sink or swim, I'm out of a job in 30 days if I don't get these people to email and call me back and get them enticed. And so I realized that there were three things I needed to say that I tested out to get somebody to naturally want to have a conversation with me. It's very simple. Tell me what you do. Tell me how you solve my problem. And tell me how you're different from the competition.
Okay.
In that order. So that's the brand trifecta. When it comes to writing your language, how does that show up? What that actually looks like is, number one, tagline. Tell me what you do. A tagline should say, here's what I do.
Right. Yeah.
It answers that question. The second thing is, tell me how you solve my problem. Mm-hmm. It's the real emotive statement that is what we call a value proposition statement in the world of branding. And a really good value proposition statement is often one or two sentences together that goes like, here's the reality, Bob, and here's how we solve that problem. So it's like calling out the truth and then a call to action of how they can get that pain solved. So tagline, tell me what you do. Value proposition statement next. Tell me how you solve my problem. And candidly, that value proposition kind of expounds on your tagline, right? And then the third piece that's the most important that often gets missed is, tell me how you're different from the competition. And so this is like the 1, 2, 3 bullets that you see going down somebody's website page of like, here's how we're different and better than the rest. Often called like the three uniques, but it's very, very critical from a buyer psychology standpoint. It's been tested and true that you have to actually explain that before somebody is ready to care about your products or services. So those are the three things. That's the brand trifecta that you've got to have on a homepage for selling language or in your elevator pitch to actually get to a point of a conversation that converts.
Interesting.
That makes sense. That's three big wins to branding.
Yeah. Do you have any examples off the top of your head of companies that are just killing it with the brand trifecta?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So
I think there's one called Results Imagery. Is that, have you heard of that?
Oh my God. How did you know I was pulling them up? So actually Citrix does this really well. That's why I love them. Citrix and I have not worked together, but they're brilliant and they are doing it, you guys.
Pulling it up now.
You go right there and it says upgrade to uncomplicated. IT is complex enough. Simplify your cybersecurity with Citrix.
The button says see how, which is like answers exactly.
Boom. Yeah. It's like right in your face. Tagline, value prop. And as you scroll down, you see how are they different from every other technology? Are they different from VMware or whatever else that you're looking for? So they do a phenomenal job of kind of smacking you between the eyeballs right away with that. And it's interesting because if you look at the way that their language is crafted, that tagline is really getting at the heart of what you want them to do. Upgrade to uncomplicated. The promise of an uncomplicated system or tech stack. Ooh. Wow, that's interesting. And then they call it the truth with their value prop. IT is complex enough. And then a call to action. Simplify your cybersecurity with Citrix. They're really telling you, do this so you get that. That is a beautiful transition that would make me go, you got me. Let me scroll down and see, though, how you're different from the competition. And as you scroll on down, you begin to see what makes them different. One digital workspace platform to empower secure hybrid work. Then they list, you know, their customers. They go right into all the unique features.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty clear.
That was a quick one.
Extremely. Yeah.
Can we
a great example. Can we
curveball real quick? Mm-hmm. You go to our website.
A lot of curveballs.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Go resultsimagery.com. And I would love a quick brand trifecta audit.
Ooh. Okay.
This is, right. You know what? If there's one podcast we're changing up, this is the one. We're
yeah. So you have a tagline, content created for commerce. Boom. Says what you do.
Bam.
Okay.
Good. Now you lead into with access to over 20 product video and graphic design services. You can grow your brand faster and get all your e-commerce content under one roof. So here's what I would flop that.
Okay. That's right.
Grow your brand faster and get your e-commerce content under one roof. The only place that offers access to over bum, bum, bum. I want you to lead with the call to action.
That makes interesting. Sense.
That totally is. Makes sense. Grow
but here's what you're missing. Faster. I want to know what the pain is. Grow your brand faster is the call to action. What's the problem that people are experiencing? Why are they coming to you?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
that's the question she's asking.
Oh.
But like, for example, like, is it not all content is created equal, right? Is that really the pain, or it shouldn't be so hard to find the right content? What's the pain that they're experiencing that you want to lead in with that would get them to go, yes,
right.
So mm-hmm. what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah.
Indirectly, if you scroll down a little bit, answer that without saying what you're saying. Like we say, our service is what sets us apart. Not only is your content top tier, our processes and team are too. And then we talk about enjoy a personalized human touch, avoid content burnout, get content that converts. So we're not like, it's an indirect answer.
Mm-hmm. But those are your differentiators. Right. Boom, boom, boom. You have them in the right order. But I would push you and I would ask you right beneath that tagline, have you done an analysis of your top few target audiences to understand what's the bottom line heart pain?
That
they're experiencing. Why do they even care about content? What's so hard about the content that they're getting right now? What's bringing them to you versus any other place that would make them go, oh my God, these people get me.
Yep.
Yeah. We've answered that by people don't necessarily know what they want. So we're providing 20 different options to tell you, this is the different things you can do and choose from here. Because most people are like, oh, I know I need photos and videos, but I don't know, mm-hmm. right? I don't know what actually converts. I don't know what's going to work for my brand under my category and industry. So I think there's something there. Thank you there for doing something. The quick brand audit. That was just curious. The
2-minute audit with Kate.
I appreciate that.
That could be a new podcast. The 2-minute audit with Kate.
There you go. That'd be fun. I'm game.
Amazing. Oh, man. That was cool to see a couple different examples and then how you kind of go into that. Out of the trifecta, is there a priority between them? Is the number one?
So it is actually raise your hand if you like formulas. I like formulas. It actually is A plus B plus C. Well, fine. You don't have to like formulas. It is A plus B plus C equals conversion. Can I give you an example of why based on buyer psychology? Okay. Imagine I walk into the room and Eli are in the room, right? And the first thing that happens in a networking situation is Eli goes, oh, Kate, so nice to meet you. What do you do?
Okay.
What do you do? And I go, oh, I build brands that win more work. That's my tagline. I'm building brands that win more work. And Eli goes, I mean, okay, what do you mean by that? Have you ever said what you do to somebody and they're like, hold on, what do you mean by that? I got him. I provoked him.
Yep.
I got him. And I go, oh, what I mean by that is I'm a brand strategist and Here's what I believe. I know that business is a conversation and not a transaction. The problem is most companies, Eli, really struggle to create conversations that convert. And that's where I step in. My job is to help you create a brand message that brings compelling and a common ground with your audiences so that ultimately they're going to buy from you versus the competition. Value prop.
Talk about like a winning elevator pitch.
That is a winning
elevator pitch. Honestly.
But hold on. I'm not done. Oh, wait, there's more. So this is the piece that I need you to get. Remember how I said it's a formula? This is crazy. At this point in the conversation, most of us would think, the person giving our spiel, that Eli's totally ready to know about my products and services. Highly incorrect. Do you know why?
They don't get sold to? I don't know.
Simple psychology. I just gave Eli two pieces of information he's never heard before. And poor Eli's brain is going, who is this crazy curly hair chick that says that she can build brands that win more work and she can get my target audiences to buy from me versus the competition? So basic understanding is this, is when the brain takes in new information or data that it's never heard before, AKA provocative, compelling brand message, what it's going to do is try to do a comparison between you and the competition to make sure it's making sense. I actually want this comparison to happen. So the response that I always get in this conversation is Eli goes, so are you like a graphic designer, like a copywriter, like, you know, I mean, a marketing agency? And I'm like, oh my God, Eli, great question. I'm a little different. Here's how. I have a singular focus. I only, you know, like, and I go boom, boom, boom. Three uniques differentiators.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? And then he goes, okay, that makes sense. Yep. And here's the thing that I need you to get. I cleared the noise with my differentiators. I provoked him, and then I cleared the noise. And then it comes to the point of conversion when you hear the how, what question. At that point in the conversation, when somebody goes, got it. Okay, so Kate, how does that work, or what does that look like? Like, how do you work with people? When somebody asks you the how, what question, now they actually want to know, tell me the services, how you deliver on that value. I would click to go watch your explainer video, go to your product or service page. But until they know what you do, tagline, how you solve their problem, value proposition statement, and how you're different, differentiators, they're not ready to convert yet or don't care about your products and services. And that's okay. The job of your brand is to get them there in that 15 to 30 seconds. That's really all we're trying to say here.
Yeah. Wow. It really relates back to the fishing analogy. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not a big fisherman, but it literally does. You get the bait, you get the hook, and then you're reeling them in, and then you get the net at the end. Those are the three different. She hit all three of them. If you want to use that, go for it. Shoot me some royalties. I really love what you said there. I think that's super impactful. I think the networking situation is kind of a cool one too.
I find that often happens. I'm sure you guys have experienced this with your own clients and partners in the business world. Is I think very often in branding, we focus on what's going to be on a website. I think that that's critical. But at the end of the day, your brand is supposed to be the thing that arms you when you walk into the room. Yeah. And so for me, when I work with clients, I'm constantly actually translating that language into elevator pitches. Do you have your talking points? I actually have my clients print them, and they're next to their computers when they're on Zoom calls. Yeah. Do you know how to hit your talking points? Because when we work with sales teams, this should be an extension. Or if you're a founder and you're a solopreneur selling for yourself, what do you say in such a way that's authentic to you, but also doesn't feel so salesy? Like, how do you do this in such a manner with your brand pitch that's going to actually bring the right kind of prospect to the table where they're going, yeah, I want to talk numbers with you now. Right. I'm ready to go to that next level.
Exactly. Wow. That is so cool.
So... are you working with companies that are like more startups, like you're trying to figure out your brand, or is it like veteran companies that are like 20, 30, 40, 50 years into it? And you're like, hey, let's like revamp. Is it all over the board? Like, what is your, like, is there something that you feel?
So I do have a huge passion for startups and smaller businesses in general. That doesn't mean that I don't serve enterprise and mid-sized companies. I certainly take a slice of those every year. On average, I'm running 40 to 50 brand projects a year.
Okay.
Over the last 3 years. Prior to that, you guys, this was a side hustle. Like many people, I had this as a side hustle until I really took it full time in 2019. But that being said, there are a couple key criteria that I think would be the overwhelming consistent piece. Mm-hmm. Number one, I never take a project unless the founder is in the room. So where I've seen this go poorly, even for marketing agencies, is they work with a CMO, but that founder's not in the room, and they do all this work and intention, and then that founder rips it apart. And so for me, I want to hear from the founder and that C-suite team. Mm-hmm. I think the other piece is I tend to work with technology-based companies based on my background. that's a big passion area for myself. Now I've worked in healthcare and tons of other service-based sectors. But if there's a tech piece involved, I get really excited because, as you probably know, it's kind of a sea of sameness right now, especially post-COVID. We just find that everybody's trying to do the same thing. And how do you differentiate? It's hard.
Can we go back to the whole family thing? Because I really like that, because I think there is, when we work with a lot of like our enterprise clients, or not even enterprise, like mid-sized companies, it's hard to get them in the door,
right,
in the conversation. And that's kind of a hard ask. It's a hard ask to say, hey, Mr. CMO making tons of money, cool, but I need to talk to the boss. Like, how do you go across doing that?
It is harder for midsize and enterprise, I'll be honest. Obviously, it's much easier for a startup where this is a team of 1 to 10, right? Like, that's very easy when it's a small team. That founder's in the trenches, aren't they? Yeah. When you start getting into midsize and enterprise level, the thing that I really ask is, how involved is your C-suite leader or your CMO, or excuse me, your CEO or your founder in understanding the conversation around revenue operations?
Right. I love that.
And they go, well, it's all we talk about. And I go, that's great. So how important is it for that CEO to be part and parcel determining the right message that's going to improve revenue operations? Well, that's pretty critical. Mm-hmm. Then they need to be in the room for this, because what you're talking about with your brand is path of least resistance to revenue. And if that's a conversation that your particular founder wants to have, Bob, then I want them in this conversation for us.
Love it.
That was awesome.
You said something really cool. Path to least resistance to revenue.
Yes. Tell us
about that. Ooh. That sounds like that's one of your taglines.
It is. It's a trademark. So here's the thing, is that path of least resistance to revenue. Again, the purpose of your brand is to bring the right prospect to the right table at the right time. And right. The way that you do that is by understanding deeply, who am I going after and why? It's part of your brand. You got to know that.
You do.
What's my authentic voice that's going to resonate with them? What's the deepest level heart pain I solve for them? And based on that information, have I created a brand trifecta, the 1, 2, 3, that's going to provoke them to the point of conversion? Mm-hmm. That's what creates a path of least resistance to revenue. Because when somebody reads a brand trifecta, whether it's on your website, it's in an ad, it's in that, you know, Zoom room, what happens then is, if they go, holy crap, I like that, we need to set up a call, or that's really enticing, you know they're going to walk away and go stalk you, right? And by the time that they get on that call with you,
very true,
how much further down the pipeline do you think they are if they hold that call with you and that they've seen your brand trifecta a second time on your website, and then they saw it again in an explainer video, okay, and then they saw all your supporting content. When they hold that call, they're no longer asking the question, what do you do and how are you different? They have it answered. Now they're asking the question and they're coming to the table and say, okay, so we have this problem. Mm-hmm. And can you fix this thing? Because we're really dealing with this. And how much does that cost? So when you purely look at this from a pipeline standpoint, what you find is that for service-based organizations especially, you actually see a decrease in your sales cycle time. Mm-hmm. And you see an increase in the number of qualified prospects when you have a brand trifecta in place. That's why it's your path of least resistance to revenue.
Amazing.
I'm coming out of this fired up.
I am coming. You've done a long time.
Yeah, honestly, Kate.
You it really was. Fire. The energy is there.
So as we wrap this up,
yeah,
there's one thing that you hope really sticks to our audience from the conversation with Kate. What would that be?
I really want you to focus on looking at your brand message and really asking yourself, have I actually answered the bottom level heart pain that I solve for my target audiences? Or am I just speaking to, yes, we provide these great products and services? The narrative needs to go from, we do this, to,
yep,
here's the heart pain we solve. Oh, by the way, how we happen to do that is through these amazing products and services. Connect with your audiences at an emotional level. That's what they're looking for. In a sea of sameness, where technically speaking, you could offer the exact same service as other people, what they're really wanting to understand is, do you understand me as a human first?
Yep.
And if you can do that, you're really going to bring them down that path to want to connect with you and take the next step.
Amazing.
I'll just wrap up the whole.
Yeah, exactly.
All
yeah.
episodes. Just yeah. wrap up this whole podcast in general. We don't need to talk anymore.
Call it a day. Yep.
Is that what we call like a boom mic drop? Instead of a mic drop? Is that a boom mic drop? Okay, got it.
It is.
Yeah. So if people want to follow you that want to elevate their brand,
there you go.
Where are they going to do that?
So easiest way, first off, is www.katedeleo.com. Last name is D-I-L-E-O, katedeleo.com. You also can find me on LinkedIn. Would love to have you follow me and check out the Brand Bite videos and other episodes that we're going to have coming out around how do you build a brand that wins more work.
Love it. Nice.
And then you got a book coming out. Is that right?
I do. Muting the Megaphone. Stop telling stories and start having conversations. That book actually unpacks this entire philosophy of how you can write your own brand trifecta. So this is really what I teach my clients day in and day out. And if you really want the how-to guide, that's actually what it is. It's supposed to be very tactical. It's short and it gets to the point.
Amazing.
We will be getting a copy.
We will be getting
a copy. Kate, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast.
You are welcome. It's an honor, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Perfect. Well, we hope to have you again soon. Maybe maybe after that book.
After the book launches, comes out.
Maybe we can have a combo.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Biz Bros podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you want to listen to a really cool guest just like Kate, which is going to be hard to compare to because she really brought in the fire, make sure to subscribe, start listening. We've got hundreds of episodes. We'll talk to you in the next episode.